Right, this is our second week talking about Christmas. We're almost there, we are getting there. And I've entitled these talks, The Power of Christmas. So last week we said Christmas isn't just merry, Christmas is mighty. And we talked about the mighty power of God. We said he is Jehovah Elohim, which means the God of power and might. And if we reject God, we reject hope. So we said, don't be hopeless this Christmas. This week, I want to talk about the fact that God wants a relationship with us, and it's a relationship that is powerful. So last week it was mighty, this week it's powerful, because he is Emmanuel, God with us. Okay, so let's look at relationships, first of all. If we had a relationship with someone famous, we'd think we were fairly important. So imagine this Christmas, you get an invite down to the palace to have Christmas lunch with William and Kate. You're invited along there for tea. You'd feel pretty important. You'd be telling all your relatives and all your friends, look, I've got an invite. Years and years and years ago, my mum was invited to the Queen's Garden Party just for being the elder of her little local Church of Scotland for maybe 20 years and the cleaner for maybe 30 years. She was the cleaner of the church for about 30 years. And as such, she got invited to the garden party at Holyrood Palace. And she told everybody. And even when she passed away, I found the invitation. She'd kept the invitation to the Queen's garden party. You feel pretty important, you know, if you're invited along to that. What if the Prime Minister phones up and says, I just need a wee chat with you, James. Could you help me sort out a few problems? So James goes, it's just as well it's on the phone and not in person. Yeah, so we'd feel pretty important if we've got those kind of ties in our lives. They're fairly impressive relationships, and we would do some serious name dropping if that was the case. Well, can I just put it to you that we have an almighty God, that he's the creator of the universe and he wants a relationship with us. And that is a fairly important relationship because it is packed with power. He's not on the outside, he's on the inside. He's with us right now. With God in our life, we are powerful, and without God, we're powerless. It's only God that can move situations that no one else can move. Last week we said he's Jehovah Elohim. That is a Hebrew name for God, and that means the God of power and might. You know, perhaps we should do a bit more name-dropping where God is concerned with our friends and family, because he's almighty, all-powerful, the great I Am, a miracle-working God, and he is our Father. You remember in the playground, you know, my dad will do this and my dad will do that. No, my dad's bigger than your dad. No one's dad's as big as my dad, you know, unless he's the Heavenly Father. Our dad is amazing and he's awesome, and yet we're reluctant to drop that name into the conversation. You know, drop that into a few conversations and see the results we get. There might be the parting of the Red Sea. Some family members will go one way and some family members will go the other. It might be worth a try. You might get rid of some people that you don't want to talk to. So how do we know that a powerful God wants a relationship with us? We're going to rewind just a few years, 2,000 years, rewind 2,000 years to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23, where it says this: Behold, the virgin shall become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. What an amazing little scripture. Now, experts agree that Mary was probably only around about 15 years of age. She was just a young woman. She was living an ordinary life, and yet she conceived God's gift to the world. Imagine how that would look on your CV. You know, can make a really mean goat's cheese, able to tread grapes with her bare feet, oh yes, and gave birth to the Savior of the world. She had a good CV. She was just an ordinary girl. We don't have to be someone important for God to have good things for us to do. For me to be in front of you today, in God's eyes, is the most important thing that I can do. It's to be here and to serve you and to bring the revelation that I believe God's given me for your life. It might be a small thing in the face of the earth. It might not be noteworthy at Buckingham Palace, but it's important to God because you are important to God. And God wants a relationship with us because we are all important to him. This young girl, Mary, received a miracle because she believed God wanted to have a relationship with her. So here is a news flash. He wants one with us too. So I want you to turn to someone today and say, God wants a relationship with you. He wants a relationship with every single one of us. This scripture says he is Emmanuel, and that word means God with us. So do we believe God's with us? Do we believe that he wants to walk and talk and relate to us? That God sent us the most amazing gift of his son to prove his love for us. God does not live in a kingdom far, far away. That's Shrek. Okay, he lives in a kingdom far, far away. God lives right here in our lives if we have asked him in, right in the center of our being. He's not even on the other side of the veil anymore, because as we heard today, it's been torn in two, you know? It's been ripped apart so that God could get close to man. So he's just saying, come on in and get as close as you can. I want us to know that love came down at Christmas in the form of Jesus Christ, and it has never left. God's love for this world has never left. Man is not making a very good job of it, but God still loves every single one of us. You know, why did God send his love in the form of his son? Because he longed to be with us. He couldn't stand the separation anymore. Couldn't stand the veil that was between him and his creation. He just couldn't take it. Almighty God longed to have a living, breathing relationship with you and with me. So I've got a challenge for us. It might be this week, it might be this year, it might be next year as well. That when we get up in the morning, the first thing we need to do is repeat, God is with me. Just repeat, God is with me. And repeat it until we believe it. Repeat it for all of the next week. Repeat it for the whole month of December. Repeat it into next year if need be. God is with me. Whatever it is I have to face, whatever corridor I need to walk down, whatever door I need to go through, he's going to be with me. If it's to face the boss, he's with me. If it's to face the doctor's report, he is with me. Because if we're honest, there can still be some days when we don't believe that or we're not sure of it. Or the knowledge is there, but it's way down in our boots. And we need to bring it up to the forefront and in our heart and say, I know he's with me. This is going to be okay. Some days we struggle to feel that God is with us, but the reality is he is standing right beside us. So I've got a prophetic word for us today, and it's this. Stop relying on our feelings. I don't feel God's with us. I don't feel he's close. I don't feel he's near. That's just feelings. It's not the truth. Because the truth is, he said, I'm with you. He said it. The truth is that the Bible says he is Emmanuel and he is with us. Not he was. Not he might be if we're good enough, but just he is. With all mankind, no matter what side they're on, whether we accept him or reject him, God is with us. So today I want us to get a revelation of the fact that God wants a relationship with us. He's in every detail of our lives. He sees it all, he hears it all, and he knows it all. Now that can be a good thing and maybe not such a good thing, because think about it, where we go, he goes. What we see, he sees. What we say, he hears. The TV and the movies we watch, God's sitting on the couch beside you. In fact, I flicked onto one last night just for a little wind-down time at bedtime, and I could only watch about 10 minutes of it, and I had to flick it off again. I thought, I don't think God would like to see this movie. You know, if you don't know what it's about, you can't tell to begin with. The description didn't sound too bad, but when I switched it on, I thought, no, this is not edifying, so I switched it off. God is with us in the good times, and he is with us in the bad. He's with us when we laugh, and he's with us when we're crying. He's with us in every hope and every disappointment. Driving to work, God is with us. In the doctor's surgery, God is with us. I have a very simple message today. God's with you. So we need to go home, and we need to start believing that. Let's look at Psalm 139 and verse 7. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. Verse 13, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. 16, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Isn't that wonderful? Right there in the womb, before no one else had seen you, even your mother had not seen you, God was with you. He saw you being created. And this says God's everywhere that we are. We can never get away from his presence. In the heavens, he's there. In the depths, he's there. On the far side of the sea, so north, south, east, and west, God is there. We can't run away from him. You know, there's no hole so deep that we'd get in it and God can't find us there. Verse 10 says, his right hand holds us fast. Folks, God's got a tight grip on you. He has got a tight grip on you. Now, if you ever were with our family when we're traveling through busy places like airports, on and off trains, I'll give you a little story that will make you understand why we hang on to each other, okay? So when my oldest daughter was only about 7, it was New Year's Eve, I remember it, and we were in a hotel in Singapore. So we'd let her stay up just till midnight, and we were all absolutely wrecked, still had jet lag. It was midnight, wee bits of ticker tape coming down like you've seen on the movies. I've never been in that before, so it was quite exciting. So right, it's 12:05, I'm shattered, we're off to bed. So we get in the lift, and we were on something like floor 17. So the three of us were in the lift, and a man got in the lift as well, and we pressed our button, and the lift went up. Now, my daughter was absolutely exhausted. She was 7 years old. It was midnight. So the lift doors opened. The man walked out. She walked out behind him. The lift doors shut, and we continued to go up. So I'm in Singapore, foreign country on the other side of the world. I was frantic. I am screaming down the elevator shaft, don't move, don't move. Mummy will come back and get you. We'll come back and get you. Don't move. And then the lift went all the way up to floor 17. We had to think, where did she get out? And we're pressing all the buttons and we got down to, I think it was floor 13. And she's just standing there, the tears running down her face. And the businessman, who just seemed like a nice man that had got out, he had turned round to come back and make sure she was okay because he heard her crying, probably heard me screaming at the top of my voice. So for the rest of that holiday and the rest of our lives, if we're getting on and off trains, in and out of lifts, we've got hold of arms, elbows, backpacks, so we all do it together. Out the lift together, in the lift together, so we don't lose anybody. This scripture says that's what God is like. If you go off at the wrong floor, he's yelling down the lift shaft. Marion, get back in the lift, you're on the wrong floor. He has got a tight grip on us. His right hand holds us fast. It's like super glue. He is not letting go. God was even there when you were being formed in your mother's womb. Wherever we go, God's there. We cannot escape from his presence. God is with us at the start of our life, and he is with us at the end and everything in between. We are surrounded by God. We are filled with his presence once we've asked him into our lives. God, by his Spirit, is with us now in this very room. Why? Because he wants to be. He wants to be here. He wants a relationship with us. So here's a question. Do we want one with him? Do we want to be as close to God as he wants to be as close to us? Because it's our move. He's done all he can. It's up to us to spend time with him. If we truly want that relationship, we must believe that he is Emmanuel, God with us. Let's go back to Mary. God planned something amazing in her life. A miracle was about to happen for this young woman. But Mary had to be ready to receive it. And that meant she needed to believe it. She needed to believe what God was telling her. If we want something amazing to happen, we have to believe God for it too. We need to believe the promises in his word. Mary had to believe that God cared for every detail of her life and he hadn't forgotten her. He had a miracle for her, but she had to believe that God was with her to receive that miracle. So I want us to note this. Everything, listen to this, everything with God was with Mary. Everything. He's standing there in his entirety beside her, in all of his power, in all of his glory, radiant and shining. All of his love, everything. Everything that was with God was with Mary. His love, his power, his compassion. We could believe it for Mary. Can we believe it for ourselves? That everything with God is with us. The ability to answer our prayers, the ability to bring healing, everything that was with that God, that is with God, is with us too. So here's a revelation. A miracle starts by believing that the power of God is with us. It's in us. We are the ones that need to speak it out. He's with us every minute of every day. He's with us with every breath we take. He's with us in the good times and the bad. That scripture in Psalm 139, verse 8 said, in the depths, you are there. So even in this Christmas season, if we're in the depths of something, you know, we're in the depths of depression, the depths of despair, the depths of financial struggle. If we're in the depths of something this Christmas, God's still with us. So here's another question. Is something lacking in our relationship with God? Then it's not God that stopped believing in us. Maybe we've stopped believing in him and the fact that he's here. God's done everything. He's even sacrificed his son. He can't do more than he's done. The world just needs to believe what he's done. He can't do any more than he's done. God's love and power are here right now. Why is that? Because they are. They just are. And anything else is a lie. He's not far away. He's close. How close? He's Emmanuel, God with us. He can't get any closer, but we need to believe it. To turn to someone today and say, God's with you. He's with you. God is with you. Whatever we need to start to believe God can meet that need. You know, finances, family, friends, start to believe God is with you in the middle of that problem. Philippians 4:19 says, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches. Now, here's an amazing revelation that God's given me. So hang on to your socks, hang on to your boots today. We can be so busy focusing on our need, we forget to focus on his riches. And this is a promise in God's word. My God will supply all your needs according to his riches. We need to stop speaking out what we can see and the lack that we can see. Start speaking out God's riches, because our words prove whether we believe him or not. Our words prove it.
So are we speaking as if God is with us, or as if he's deserted us? He has gifts for all of us, but we must be ready to receive them. Here's a challenge for the new year. Get yourself ready to receive what God has for you. Think about this. When God says he loves us, what's our response? Do we believe it every day? When God says he's with us, what's our response? Do we believe it every day? Or are there some days when we just can't believe it? Or do we say, no, God's far away. He doesn't know my situation or my pain, but I'll survive. Well, folks, we're not meant to just survive. That's settling for second best. That's believing a lie. Don't believe the lies that come into our head. But be like Mary instead. Believe God and give birth to your miracle. Start believing God has a gift he wants to give you. So here's another revelation. We need to line up our thoughts with our miracle. Don't line them up with negative thoughts or lies in our head. How did Mary conceive her miracle? She believed God. Likewise, we must believe it to conceive it, and only then will we receive the miracle that we need. God loves us so much that he wants to plant something amazing in each one of us. Mary was expecting something in God. So what are we expecting? What heart's desires do we want to give birth to this new year? Then we must start to believe God. Start to speak out what we want to see. God is with us right now. He's still Emmanuel. He's still powerful and he's still here. He knows what we're believing for and what we're not. God knows when we're still trusting and when we've given up. And I want us to listen to this. The minute we give up, then we've tied God's hands. We've made him powerless in our lives because we've stopped believing. He can do very little to help us if we've stopped believing, and none of us want that. You probably all know the old saying, two men looked through prison bars, one saw mud, the other stars. So are we believing for mud or stars this Christmas? Because our attitude determines our miracle. Mary believed it and conceived it, then she gave birth to it. If we need to conceive a miracle, it starts with believing God is with us. He's with us every minute of the day because he is still Emmanuel. The power of God himself came down just to be with us. And if we can grasp that, our life can explode with God's power too. Just believing God is with us will release power this Christmas. Thank you.